Raise your hand if you remember frequent guest star Alan. Wow, nobody. Well, tonight's classic bonus show is the remedy for a problem you didn't even know you had. It's called the Alan Program. It's frequent guest star Alan's failed attempt at a spinoff from Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast. Hey, not everything can be as successful as the unofficial Kathy Griffin fan cast. Yeah, anyway. Now enjoy episode 60, The Alan Program.
Hi, my name's Alan, and this is my show. Hi, my name's Alan.
Hi, my name's Alan.
Hi,
my name's
Alan.
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 Hi,
and this is my show.
Alan.
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 Hi, my name's Alan, and this is my show. I'd like to welcome my special guest this week, Cliff.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, Cliff. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for showing up.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Cliff,
yeah.
What's on your mind this week?
Well, Alan, I know on your show you really like to discuss global issues and foreign policy.
That's what I like.
I know. So I've been just all up in arms with this Gaza stuff.
Gaza, huh?
Man, what's Alan? I don't even know. Where is Gaza? Is Gaza a place or is it a people?
Gaza is a place. Inhabited by people.
Okay. Where is it? In Israel?
It is, yes, southern Israel.
Hey. And what's in northern Israel? Why are they so mad all the
Israel
time over there?
Israel is in northern Israel. I don't know why they're so mad.
It's just depressing.
It is very depressing.
And how come all the time in the election, Joe the plumber was telling people what was going to happen in Israel?
I'm not sure, but I did hear that a conservative website asked Joe Plumber to be their special Gaza correspondent and to tell people the truth about Hamas.
Oh, Joe. Now, what is Hamas? Well, now, first of all, back in City Year, when we wanted to send an email saying, hey, everybody, let's go drinking, what we would say is, hey, everybody, let's go Hezbollah bombing.
Oh.
But now, what is Hezbollah and what is Hamas?
I don't know, Cliff. You tell me.
I like Hamas. I like to dip carrots into it.
I like
pita chips.
Red pepper Hamas.
I do too. Oh, Hamas. What do you really know what it is? I don't know what it is.
We could pause for for my patented news corner.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Alan.
And this is my show.
Hi, this is Alan's News Corner. The Gaza Strip is a coastal strip of land along the Mediterranean Sea. It borders Egypt on the southwest and Israel on the north and east. It is about 41 kilometers or 25 miles long and between 6 and 12 kilometers, 4 to 7.5 miles wide, with a total area of 360 square kilometers or 139 square miles. The area is not recognized internationally as part of any sovereign country, but is claimed by the Palestinian National Authority as part of the Palestinian territories. Since the June 2007 Battle of Gaza, actual control of the area is in the hands of the Hamas de facto government.
Oh, it's a de facto government.
Yes, yes.
I thought as much.
According to Alan's News Corner.
All right. Well, that all this Gaza and this economy is...
The economy.
Oh,
I was hoping
the economy.
I was hoping you would bring up the economy, because it is just terrible.
Oh,
right now.
Alan. And people just keep laying people off. Oh, everywhere. How are people on sabbatical supposed to get out of sabbatical?
I'm not sure. I think you just continue your sabbatical.
I'm just going to extend it for the foreseeable future.
I think it's a wise move.
I think, why not? Why not? Gosh, the economy. Well, now, the only thing that gets me out of the economy and doldrums, Alan.
The doldrums, yes.
I got the economic doldrums. Is I really enjoy on your show when you tell anecdotes from Africa.
Okay. I guess this is the best time to go to my patented Anecdotes of Africa
corner.
I think
this is as good a time as any.
Hi, my name's Alan, and this is my show. How the Crocodile Got Its Skin. This story is from a book called The Secret of the Crocodile, a Namibia oral tradition project published by New Namibia Books. How the Crocodile Got Its Knobbly Textured Skin. The crocodile originally had a smooth golden skin, and it stayed that way because the crocodile would spend all day in the muddy waters and only come out at night. All the other animals would come in and admire its beautiful golden skin. The crocodile became very proud of its skin and started coming out of the water to bask in the other animals' admiration, even while the sun was shining. He began thinking he was better than the other animals and started bossing them around. The other animals became bored with his change in attitude, and fewer started showing up to look at his skin. But each day that the crocodile exposed his skin to the sun, it would get uglier and bumpier and thicker, and was soon transformed into what looked like bulging armor. Crocodile never recovered from the humiliating shame, and even today will disappear from view when others approach, with only his eyes and nostrils above the surface of the water. Well, Cliff, how did you enjoy Africa's story time?
Well, I really liked it, Alan, and you made me think about a lot of things.
Oh, yeah? What did you think about?
Well, how sad it is that people kill crocodiles and... And they make purses out of their faces and stuff. I just think that's real depressing.
That was the theme, the lesson of the story.
I'm glad
you were paying attention.
I thought it was so sad.
Hi, my name is Alan. This is my show. This is Alan again with my special guest, Cliff.
Oh,
hey, Cliff.
Hey.
I thought we'd entertain our audience today with impressions.
Ooh, I love when you do impressions.
Impressions.
On your show, Alan. Oh, yeah.
Well, Cliff, what impression will you do for us today?
This week I'm going to be doing my impression of Richard Nixon. 31st President of the United States.
31st? I think you're a little off on there, but that's okay.
That's somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there. So, Richard Nixon, how are you today?
Have you done a lot of fornicating lately, Alan? Alan, I think your shoes are a bit effeminate for me. I don't know, Alan. Did I really call you that night, Alan, on the phone? We're gonna get them, Alan. We're gonna kick their asses.
Oh.
Well, the saddest day of my entire presidency was the day Dwight Eisenhower died. I'd like a two-room suite at the Watergate Hotel. With a bidet.
Wow, that was a lot of Richard Nixon.
Thanks.
Well, our impressions this week have an Academy Award theme to them.
They are Oscar themed. Now, Alan, I cannot wait to hear your impression. I'll just go ahead and start it.
Now, Benjamin, how old are you?
I'm 7, but I look a lot older.
Oh. Now, this is if Richard Nixon was talking to Benjamin Button.
Oh, Benjamin. Well, I don't understand how you're aging in reverse.
I'm 7, but I look a lot older.
I think your Italian shoes are a little bit effeminate, Benjamin. They're quite curious, if you ask me.
I'm 7. But I look a lot older.
Hi, my name's Alan. And this is my show. Hey, Cliff.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Thanks. Now, Alan, you know, I know this is not a normal part of your show, but on Kendall and my show, we enjoy...
Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast?
Yeah. You remember you...
It's my favorite show.
I know. And so we enjoy telling bad jokes. Would you join me in telling some bad jokes this week?
I would love to join you in telling some bad jokes this week,
right.
Cliff.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, Cliff.
It's time for some bad, bad jokes.
I'm 7, but I look a lot older.
How do you know what a vagina looks like right after the act of love? It looks like a bulldog eating mayonnaise.
That was if Richard Nixon was telling bad jokes.
Oh. Okay.
But now, really, speaking of presidents, Alan.
Yes.
President Bush, he said that, you know, all ex-president, mm-hmm. the three most beautiful words in the English language, former President Bush,
yes.
said clients shouldn't be so concerned by all these bank closings. Because if the bank is closed, you just go use the ATM instead.
No. That Bush.
That's, oh, man.
Okay, Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call three lesbians in bed together?
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Ménage à trois.
Oh!
Oh, oh.
Ouch.
Bad jokes.
No. Now, Alan, how is the electric chair period furniture?
I don't know, Cliff.
It ends a sentence.
Oh.
Isn't that sad? I'm against the death penalty.
Me too.
I think it's just awful.
Not jokes about the death penalty, though.
If you can't laugh, I don't know what you're going to do.
All right, Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long one.
All right.
Unfortunately. A woman posts an ad in the newspaper that reads like this. Looking for man with these qualifications, won't beat me up or run away from me, and is great in bed. Well, she got lots of calls replying to her ad. But one day she met someone perfect at the door. The man she met said, "Hi, I'm Bob. I have no arms, so I won't beat you up, and no legs, so I won't run away." So the lady asks, "What makes you think you are great in bed?" Bob replies, "Well, I rang the doorbell, didn't I?"
Ouch! Zing!
Think that one over.
Think that one over. Actually, it was on another show, but I told that one a long time
ago. You told that same joke?
On another show.
No.
On our show.
That is impossible.
But it's okay. It's all, I know.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I know you just wrote
that.
There
are so many bad jokes. I did just make it up.
Although, I have to tell you, Alan, once there was the weirdest thing on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. Kendall and I, a long time ago, we used to just tell, like, what do you call this? You call it that. You know, those kind
of
jokes.
Yes, yes.
And that's pretty much all we did. One week, Kendall and I each looked up 4 jokes. Out of all the jokes in the universe, we had chosen the exact same 4 jokes.
No.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
It was freaky.
That's weird, wild stuff.
It is. All right, now, a husband and wife and their 2 sons are watching TV one night.
Yes.
She looks at her husband and winks at him. And he gets the message and says, "Well, excuse us for a few minutes, boys. We're going to go up to our room for a while." Now, pretty soon, one of the boys becomes curious, goes upstairs and sees the door to his parents' bedroom is ajar.
Mm.
He peeks in for a few minutes, trots downstairs, and gets his little brother, and takes him up to peek in the bedroom, too. Wait, oh. I lost it.
I'm hanging here.
Yeah. Now, before you look in there, he says, "Keep in mind, this is the same woman who smacked our asses just for sucking our thumb."
Oh.
Oh.
Mm. Who are these people?
Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah! I can't stop saying hoo-ah! All right, Cliff.
Uh-huh.
What do you call an adolescent rabbit?
I don't know.
Well, you call him a pubic hair.
No!
Oh.
Are those all your bad jokes?
Those are all my bad jokes.
Oh, those were great. Thanks, Alan, for joining me in bad jokes.
Thanks, Cliff, for having me for your bad jokes.
Thanks for having me on your show, Alan.
Yes, Cliff. Hi, my name's Alan, and this is my show. Hi, my name's Alan. And this is my show.
The Allen Program is brought to you by Cliff and Kendall Productions and a grant from the United States Federal Government Podcast Bailout Initiative. Just because the economy is bad doesn't mean you have to suffer. The weather in Brooklyn tonight is 31 degrees with clear skies. Clouds are moving in by morning, though, with a 40% chance of snow showers during the day tomorrow, with a high reaching only 33 around mid-afternoon. Traffic is light over the Manhattan Bridge, filled mostly with alcoholics riding in taxicabs. The time now is 2:41 a.m. Our president is Barack Hussein Obama, and the Allen Program is on the air.
This is my show.
The Nail Gun by Flannery O'Connor, read by Kendall Bennett. There was gum underneath the bar. She couldn't believe it. Why would people she had to have known, stick their nasty gum under the bar where she, obviously it would be she, would have to scrape it off. It was no use wondering this now, as there were more pressing things to think of. For one, her life. Was it about to end? The man whom she'd been calling Stanley, but that might not even be his name, had come into the diner around 8 o'clock. And of course he'd come in on Wednesday when nobody would be there but her. Why, Lord, did this happen? He'd come in and ordered the meatloaf special, which included iced tea, macaroni and cheese, and broccoli casserole. He ate half the meatloaf and mumbled something to her. She got up off the stool where she was reading the television listings for Saturday night and went over to him and said,
"Excuse me, sir?"
He said again, "I want some of what you got in the back." "And what exactly is that?" She had started to lose patience quickly since it was Wednesday and it was traditionally the night she did crosswords alone until 1 a.m., and then she went home without having seen a customer. But not this Wednesday. "Some of what you got in back. Dale said you got it and I want it." "Who is Dale?" she asked, hand on hip, one eyebrow raised. "Dale is Dale, and who the hell are you?" He said this and then laughed to himself for a moment. "I sound like Dr. Seuss. Give me a moose. This bolt is loose, and let's call a truce." She didn't laugh. She'd shooed crazies out before, and it was never fun. They often laughed, but there was no joy to be had when you saw a perfectly good person whose brain happened to be made of 75% tapioca pudding. "Maybe you want to just finish up and go. Take that meatloaf as a gift." She just wanted to be alone. Sheila had been alone all last Wednesday. Why couldn't this goon have come in then? "I want some of what you got in back, and I want it now." "I don't know what you were talking about, sugar. If I knew, I'd give you some, but seeing as how I'm in the dark about it, why don't you just pack up and leave?" With that, he threw his fork down on the counter and picked up the rest of his meatloaf with his hand and shoved it in his mouth. He took a quick gulp of his tea and beat it out the door. "Well, howdy do to you too," she said, thinking it over. She cleared his plate, slopped his unfinished broccoli into the garbage can, and then just as soon as she'd sat down on her stool, but before she'd gotten a chance to pick up the paper again, he came back in the door. "What in the," she said involuntarily when she saw he had something big in his hand, like a drill, but not. He pointed the big thing in her direction and pulled a trigger and something big shot out right at her. "Good Lord," she shouted as she fell to the floor. She turned and saw a nail sticking halfway out of the stove, just above the oven timer. "I want some of what you got in the back, and I want it now," he shouted as though she couldn't hear him. "You want money? I'll give it all to you, but I don't have the combination of the safe." The last part was a lie, but it was a lie she'd been told she must tell. I'll give you whatever I can, just put that thing down. Her face was getting cold as it was pressed to the floor. She was impressed, though, by how clean the tiles behind the counter were. Few had seen them this close up, she was sure, and a small surge of pride ran through her at her own cleaning abilities. But the good feeling was short-lived as the man started howling about wanting stuff from the back again. Dale said come here and ask for some of what you got in the back, and you'd know what I meant. Are you calling Dale a liar? No, honey, I think Dale wouldn't tell you no tell. But he might have been mixed up is all. Are you sure he meant here, at this place, and not some other place? He said here. Now I want some of what you've got in the back, or I'm going to come and find you and give you a nail right in your brain. She knew she had to think quick. But think of what? A way to defend herself? She'd been the one who talked Larry out of having a firearm in the diner. She was pretty sure he did still keep one in the drawer in his office behind the kitchen, but it might take her all night to find it, and if she stood up, she might get a nail in the face anyway. She had to think of a way to outsmart him, she guessed. But she had always thought you could reason with people, show them you are human and they will recognize themselves in you and everything would be fine. What is the stuff you want from the back, hun? I'll give you whatever you like. Just put down that nail gun, all right? He fired another nail into the glass water pitcher, sending a shower of wet glass shards very near her face. I told you I'll give you whatever you want. I want to help you. Now what can I get for you? She listened for a response, but got none. In a second, she heard the sound of him walking on the broken glass toward the counter. And then she saw him lean over and look right at her, nail gun in hand. This is when she saw the name tag sewn into his shirt. Stanley. She hadn't noticed it when he was eating earlier. She looked into his face, looking for signs of the soul she was sure he had buried down deep in there. He extended the arm with a nail gun in it further so that the gun was maybe 18 inches from her head. I want some of what you've got in the back. Are you going to give it to me? His eyes were boring holes right into her pupils. She didn't want to look away, but here, her head seemed to be getting hotter. She breathed in, trying to calm herself. Was that blood she smelled? Had he cut her head on a piece of glass? Or was the smell on him? Had he eaten meatloaf and then murdered a waitress at another diner already tonight? She took her eyes off of him for 1/16th of a second. That's when she saw the gum beneath the counter. More than a dozen people had thought that as an acceptable last resting place for their chewed-out gum. She looked back at him. He moved the nail gun as close as he could to her, making his grasp on the trigger less sure. You know, I do know what you want. Of course, how could I have been so foolish? He seemed to relax a small bit. She tensed up. It's just that we're out. I know where they have some, though. She struggled to make up a place, to create an imaginary place where they had plenty of whatever this guy wanted. She couldn't. Oh, over in Lewiston, about 15 miles away. I was talking to somebody there at Big Eddie's, and they have loads of that stuff. He blinked, a bead of sweat rolled from his brow and splashed silently on the floor near her head. You sure? Positive. They have all you want. Ask for... Again, she reached into her mind to create a name that didn't really exist, but came up empty. Ask for Allison. She knows all about what you need. He left without another word. She lay on the floor without moving for another 45 minutes. She thought of calling Big Eddie and warning Allison, but couldn't make herself move. Had she traded her life for another? Was there a nail in that gun with Allison's name on it? Was she already dead? She looked at the gum and wondered.
Fly this plane to the center. When eyes lost the wonder, queen of all the vile offenders, the curtain calls on the bathroom walls and never, ever sink in.
Hi, my name's Alan. Hi, my name's Alan. This is my my show. Is my show. So, what do you want to do now, Cliff?
Well, I think now, Alan, I know, you like to do trivia, like Kendall and I like to do trivia, but you like to do really, really hard trivia.
I do like hard trivia.
I know you do, so.
Whew.
Okay, so.
Okay.
So we'll just do your hard trivia.
Okay.
Like you enjoy. Now, Alan, why did Frederick the Great insist upon using rough bronze buttons on all the Prussian soldiers' sleeves?
Why did Frederick
the Great
of Prussia?
I guess.
Yeah.
He was in charge of their sleeves, so I would assume.
All right, ask again. Why did he...
Oh,
good one.
Sorry. Why did Frederick the Great insist upon using rough bronze buttons on all of the Prussian soldiers' sleeves?
Sleeves?
On their sleeves. And maybe the rest of it too, but I don't know.
I do not know, Cliff.
So that the soldiers couldn't wipe their noses on their sleeves.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Nice. That is very,
He didn't want the Prussian soldiers to be real sloppy.
Very thoughtful. Very thoughtful.
It was. Keep them looking good.
Because I love to wipe my nose on my sleeve.
Look good, Prussia.
Love to wipe my nose on my sleeve. All right.
Step lab.
Cliff?
Yeah?
Who was the first man in space and the first to orbit the Earth?
Are they the same person or no?
Maybe.
Okay. The first... Oh. I don't know. Did we win the space race?
I guess that's part of the question.
All I remember is Tom Hanks was real cold and they had to drift back.
Well, that was Apollo 13, so.
Apollo 1, I would guess probably somebody named Apollo. Mm-hmm. Henry Apollo.
Henry Apollo. Apollo Creed, possibly.
Apollo Creed, yeah.
No, it was Yuri Gagarin.
Oh,
was the first man to do both.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
But he did both. Well, good. Go on, Yuri. All right, now, Alan, everybody knows that Obama's new Secretary of Treasury is Tim Geithner.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that, obviously. But
obviously,
who was the first Secretary of the Treasury for the United States?
Was it Alexander Hamilton?
Yes, that means yes, it was.
Good.
How did you know that?
It's one of those things I know.
Did you really know that?
Yeah, I know that.
You didn't look
I
over
I thought everybody knew that. That's
no.
why he's on one of the dollar bills.
But no, he was a president, right?
No, he was never president.
Hamilton?
No, he was never. He was killed
by
Aaron
Burr.
Why
have I been addressing him as President
he
Hamilton
was never president.
All these years?
He's one of only two men on... U.S. currency that was not a president.
Oh.
Along with Benjamin Franklin.
All about the Benjamins, huh? Well, go on, Alan. All right. This hard trivia, and you got one.
Well, this one might be hard for you, because it's not really your subject matter.
Okay.
But it's okay.
What part of the vagina does a football...
Okay. You would probably be just as good at that one as I would. In Major League Baseball,
mm-hmm.
who was the youngest person ever to be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Mickey Mantle.
No, it was...
Seven.
It was Lou Gehrig.
Oh, they put him in because he had that disease.
They put him in before he died of the disease.
Well, good. Yes. That's good to hear, though, even if I didn't know him.
He was 36 years old.
He was... He died when he was 36?
36.
You are kidding. He died at 36, and Biggie Smalls died at 24.
24.
Man, all these American heroes. Dying so young. Now, Alan, if someone uses the Nuremberg defense,
yes,
what is their reason for breaking the law?
What is their reason for breaking the law?
What do they say if they're on trial and they're said to have used the Nuremberg defense? What?
It's that they were just following orders, correct?
They were just following orders.
That's what all those Nazis said.
Yep.
All right. Where's the last one? All right, this is an African one.
Oh, good.
Back to our African story time. What is the only African nation to have never been colonized by a European power? It's a tough one.
First of all, I'm going to think of all the African nations. Then I'm going to think of all the colonies.
Can you name them all?
I'm going to... Bamako.
Bamako.
Is that a
city?
Colony?
It's a city.
I just knew I'd Mali, try to address something.
Mali was colonized by the French. But the answer is Ethiopia.
Oh, Ethiopia.
Ethiopia, although it was occupied by Italy briefly during World War II.
Well, A, now I know why you were always eating all those baguettes over there.
I was eating a lot of baguettes.
And smoking some cigarettes.
Yes.
When you were in Africa. But okay, Ethiopia never was colonized.
No, it was never a colony of a European power.
I don't even know what that means. What does it mean if you're a colony of a European power?
Like we were once a colony of England.
Oh, but then we broke free.
Yes.
And had a war of independence. Did they?
Africa did it more peacefully. They were just given their power.
Well, good
for
them.
Although in some countries it was a little different, but.
Yeah. Oh, give peace a chance. Let's all learn from Africa. But I don't mean to take over your show, Alan. I'm sorry.
No. That's why I invited you. I needed some help with this show.
Oh, but Alan, I just love your show.
Hi, my name's Alan, and this is my show.
Well, Cliff?
Yes?
Do you know what time it is?
Oh, is it? It's over?
It's time to say goodbye.
Oh, people at home can't see it, but I'm tugging my ear like Carol Burnett here. Bye.
Bye. Well, Cliff, I want to thank you for being my special, special guest.
Well, it's my pleasure, Alan. Anytime.
All right. Well, Cliff, I know that on your show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
That's right. That is our
that
show.
That I am often a frequent guest star.
I hope that you'll still
frequent
drop
often,
by.
That's the same thing.
I hope
but,
you'll still drop by, even though you've got your own big time stuff here.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm working on
okay.
it. Well, I know you have your own sad music.
Yes.
To say goodbye.
Yes.
But I have some even sadder music.
Now, I don't know if there is such a thing as sadder music than our sad music, but I'll give it a chance.
Well, it has to be a little sadder because this is my one and only show. I already got the word that I'm canceled.
He's already canceled. Oh, no.
Even with your help, it didn't make it off the ground.
Well, maybe you can be like
I think it was all those awkward pauses.
All those awkward pauses. Well, you know, Alan, not everybody's meant to have their own show. Some people are just meant to be frequent guest stars.
I'm just not as sassy. My sass level just can't sustain an entire show.
You could work it up, become sassy.
Maybe.
A few lessons.
Well, goodbye, Cliff.
Goodbye.
To learn more about me, Alan, visit alan.blogspot.com, and you can email me at alan@yahoo.com. My parting thought for this week is, it is not what you are called, but what you answer to. And that comes from an old African proverb. That's it for this week. My name is Alan. Good night and good luck.
I don't know why this show never got off the ground or released a second episode. I don't know what Mr. Snodbottom was thinking on that one. Yeah, he was responsible. Okay. All right, and here's another one for those who are staying up late with Cliff and Kendall. And I never thought I'd see this day, 'cause I thought I would be dead. But I'm glad I got the chance to say Kendall happy 29th birthday. Don't worry that I'll go away, 'cause our show will never end, 'cause we are co-hosts for life, and there's something I want you to hear from me. We're sassy, we're obese, oh, and you can bet dollars to hash on that, for sure, 'cause that's what friends are for. My fat times, your thin times, I'll eat by your side forevermore.
that's what friends are for. Well, you're such a friend to me, just like Ethel and Lucy. And for being a friend, I thank you. But for the times when we're apart, well, then listen to this show, and you'll hear these words right from my heart, and feel the friendship of your co-host. Oh, we're sassy, we're obese, you can always bet dollars to hash on that. Fosh, that's what friends are for. Your fat times, my thin times, I'll eat by your side forevermore. Oh, that's what friends are for. Whoa, we're sassy, we're obese. Oh, and you can always bet dollars to hash on that, for sure. That's what friends are for. Our fat times, our fatter times, I'll be by your side forevermore.
No matter what.
Oh, that's what fat friends are for. We're sassy, we're obese, oh, and you can always bet dollars to hash on that.